Hello guys, welcome back. My name is Jessie Lee, and in this episode I'm going to talk about healthy relationships versus trauma-bond relationships. I'm going to go into the five cycles of a relationship within the first year, signs to look out for when you are exploring a new relationship, and the things to kind of be mindful of when exploring a new relationship, and also signs to look out for in a trauma bond relationship. So I'm going to dive into all of that, and we're going to finish off with a little bit of like manifesting your dream partner. But I'm very happy and proud to announce that I'm hosting a five-day live workshop, which will start on the 29th of May, which is a Monday. And for 5 days straight, I'm going to be going live talking all about how to attract a healthy relationship. So I will be covering the trauma bond relationship. I'll be talking about a healthy relationship and what that looks like. I'll also be we'll be covering the inner work, doing the inner work, doing the mindset work, and getting extremely clear on what we want our partner to be like and what that experience would look like. So being in the relationship, but most importantly doing the mindset work, doing the inner work, so that you can call in your partner and quit the self-sabotaging behaviors and all the things that you have experienced in your past relationships and also as a child, which results into a trauma bond relationship. So we're going to be diving deep into really calling in and attracting a healthy partner, a healthy relationship, the relationship of your dreams. So whatever type of partner that you would love to have, that you desire, whatever type of love you want, this is what it's about. So getting extremely clear and doing the inner work so that we can claim it and feel worthy enough and feel deserving enough, and knowing that we deserve fully the love of our life and the experience. So the 5-day workshop is all about that. So please do, if this resonates with you, if you're ready to call in a beautiful, loving, healthy relationship, then join the workshop. It's only $77 for 5 days. Plus on the 6th day, I'm going to be doing a Q&A as well. So it's only $77. It's going to go up to $444 after, because it's going to be turned into a workshop. So I would highly recommend just paying $77. And honestly, if you want, if you don't want, no stress. But this is a one in a lifetime offer, and I'm really, really excited and proud of what I'm going to be talking about and how I can help serve you so that you can finally call in the loving relationship you deserve, because it is probably the number one thing that people ask me on TikTok or ask for advice for. And so I kind of just dedicated this whole workshop to the people that have asked me. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. I just want to say last thing, the link is in the bio below, but please also join my Facebook group as well if you feel called, the High Vibe Club, where I go live every single week as well. And there's heaps, hundreds, I reckon there's about 100, almost 100 maybe, training videos in there of mindset, manifestation, and spirituality. So without further ado, let's get into it. I'm going to shut up, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Bye! Hello, my name is Jessie Lee, and welcome to my podcast where I talk all things mindset, manifestation, and spirituality. And I'm here to help you grow confident AF and manifest the life of your dreams. So without further ado, let's get into this episode, and I hope you enjoy and learn a little something something. Hey guys, in today's episode, I'm here to talk about defining what a healthy relationship is versus a trauma bond relationship. So buckle yourselves, because this is going to be an episode full of juicy, juicy, juiciness. So the first thing that I want to cover is defining the two. And then I'm going to go into some examples, and then I'm going to explain what a healthy relationship is, what a trauma bond relationship is, and then I'm going to talk about the five stages or the five cycles of being in the first year of relationship. And I just want to say that this is just my perspective. I'm no expert. Yes, I've done like a little bit of research and from my own experience, but it's all at the end of the day kind of my perspective. So take it or leave it however it resonates with you. And then I'm going to go through how to work on your relationship if you are in a relationship, and then also things to look out for when exploring a new relationship. So obviously for those that are single. And then the last bit, I'm going to talk a little bit about manifestation and manifesting your relationship. Okay, so first things first, what is a healthy relationship versus a trauma bond relationship? So I'm going to start with trauma bond, because I think this is like, unfortunately, I feel like most of us experience this, and it's really important to recognize if you are in a trauma bond relationship or starting out in a trauma bond relationship, because I have been through this experience firsthand. So let's just dive into it. So the first thing is the instant attraction and irresistible chemistry. Now, chemistry doesn't mean that it's compatibility, right? You can have all this type of chemistry, but it doesn't necessarily mean you guys are right for each other. So it's really important to understand, like, if it's just chemistry, because chemistry can burn out, right, really fast, or if it's actually compatibility. And I will go over the signs to look out for that later. But instant attraction often leads to like a really highly physical and sexual attraction. So if it's just that, you just kind of base it off that. Like, obviously there's going to be intense physical and sexual attraction. Again, like, this isn't a bad thing, but if it's kind of all only just that, or it's driven by that, then you got issues, because it's going to fizzle out. Mind you, it's going to really fizzle out, but also you're going to be making decisions based on your body parts down there as opposed to what's right. The next one is that you avoid important conversations. How many of us have not felt safe enough to ask the most important questions, or any questions that resonate that we want to ask, that we need to ask, blah, blah, blah. Not asking about values. That's a big one, because if your values don't align, then you're going to later on down the track in the relationship really resent each other. Like, you're going to be on very, very, very different pages, because imagine like you wanted kids and they didn't want kids, but you didn't have that conversation at the start. You just wasted like however many years, months, whatever with this person. Another one is feeling like it's an addiction. Have you ever been in a relationship where you just felt really addicted? I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but when it's like a rush of just like, ugh, I'm so addicted. I need this. I want this. I can't stop thinking about it. And it's not very healthy. The next one's hiding parts of who you really are. Now, this goes with like vulnerability. If you don't feel safe around this person, and this kind of goes, you know, this is partly your responsibility too, but if you know that they don't really have, they don't offer a safe enough place for you to be able to express yourself as who you are comfortably, then that's a red flag, just saying. And then the second last thing is putting their needs before your own, and the loss of independency. They're just a couple. I mean, there are so many more, but they're just a couple of common ones that are signs of a trauma bond relationship. Now, I'm going to give you an example of a trauma bond relationship. So let's say, for example, one or both of your parents or it's usually one specific parent maybe abandoned you. Maybe your parents got divorced and your dad or your mum didn't want anything to do with you. I know this is common. So maybe you felt abandoned. Or maybe they just weren't present in the relationship. I mean, in, you know, as a father or as a mother, and you just really felt that. And like, you just felt like your one or both of your parents abandoned you. Well, what happens is because all you know is being abandoned. That's like, that's in your subconscious mind. And that's what you feel. That's all you know to be true to you. So what happens is you attract relationships that are pretty much emotionally unavailable to you. Because, again, you don't know anything else. That's all you kind of really know. So it's very important to keep an eye out on, like, if this maybe resonates with you, then are they hot and cold? Do they ghost you? Are they not treating you right? And, like, obviously, other signs, very obvious signs of like a trauma bond is abuse, physically, mentally, emotionally type of abuse, which I want to say as well is that you can be a person that's on the other end of like a trauma bond relationship, meaning you're the one stuck in that, right? The people pleaser type person, but also you can develop the other side. You can be on the other side because you've experienced it, and it's kind of like a coping mechanism, and I have experienced this firsthand with someone. Yeah, so they can give you hot and cold results. They could be most likely be emotionally unavailable or ghost you. You could also bond over the same inner child stuff. Like, you both could have, like, similar trauma. Like, you both could have, like, bad parent issues or, like, really bad, maybe, like, sexual trauma or something. Can you guys bond over that? That's also trauma bonding too. So be very aware of that. Because, like, when a relationship thrives off the same type of trauma and you just kind of keep feeding it, like, it's just, like, that's all you kind of have in common is that you both have experienced similar things as a child, then that's very unhealthy. Okay, so a healthy relationship is, is consistent. So it's very consistent. They're not giving you hot or cold results. They're always there. They're showing up consistently. You maintain your own sense of independency. And I feel like a lot of us end up becoming codependent in a relationship because we kind of give away our needs and then we put all of our attention into the relationship and we forget who we are. You can be vulnerable with each other and maintain support during fights. Oh, have you ever had a fight with your loved one or... And, you know, you're just like, even though it's a fight, you guys are still there for each other. That is a beautiful, healthy relationship. You both are emotionally stable. There is absolutely no abuse. There's healthy boundaries. Both grow together and as individuals, which I think is very, very important. And there's also very healthy communication. And like I said, there's so many more of this, more that I could go on, but these are just to name a few. So hopefully you kind of get an idea of if you're in a healthy relationship or a trauma-bond relationship. And I know this may actually kind of scare you. I don't know if you're like, holy shit. Like, fuck, Jesse. What the hell? You've just like completely shattered my world because I've just realized I'm in a trauma-bond relationship. It's okay. You don't need to stress. It's okay. You can get through it. But becoming aware, I think recognizing that is the hardest part. It's like one of the hardest parts, but it's obviously the most important part. And then being able to build up the courage to have a conversation with that person about how you feel and what you think, you know, is on your mind, which I doubt you do anyway, because hence the trauma bond. And then having the courage to leave the relationship if you know it's no good for you. Because that's the thing. If one person wants to work on the relationship, but it's not a like a collective type of thing, then obviously it's not going to progress. The relationship is going to die. Okay, so now I want to go through the five cycles of the first year of being in a relationship. Again, this is just from my perspective, my experience, a little bit of research as well. So take it or leave it, whatever resonates with you. But this is like, this goes really, really deep for me. Like, this resonates with me on a deep level from my past experiences with being in a relationship. Okay, so obviously the first one you've all heard is the honeymoon stage. It's where everything is new and exciting. You get to know each other. There's a lot of sexual chemistry and intimacy. And it's kind of like the falling in love stage. You know, they become the center of your world. Have you ever experienced, you get big butterflies, you can't stop thinking about them. It's so beautiful and there's absolutely nothing wrong with this. Honeymoon stage is where it's all new and exciting. You're just getting to explore them and what they like and being together and doing things that, like, you know, you haven't done with them before. But it's also the stage where you forgive them really easily, right? It's the forgiving stage where, like, everything you do, you forgive in this stage. And this is to say, often what happens is we ignore red flags in this stage because we're just more focused on the happy days or the happy times. Because if you're, let's say, someone that had, like, struggles with maybe self-worth, or you feel like, you know, nobody loves you, or you don't feel loved enough because you don't give that to yourself, then what happens is when you get a little bit of attention, you get a little bit of love, then you often ignore the red flags. And the red flags are quite obvious. They're very obvious. They can be very obvious. I mean, sometimes they're very hidden, but I guess it's important in this honeymoon stage to still have a sense of identity, right? Not make it all about them. Also ask questions about their values and what they want to achieve in life and what they are looking for in a relationship, if they're wanting to be in a relationship. Because, like, if you don't ask that question and they're just like, oh, I just want to have fun, well, then they're wasting your time. They're absolutely wasting your time. So it's important to be as vulnerable as you can in this stage and ask those questions. So the next stage is the curiosity / realization stage. Now, this is like probably a couple months in. It's where, you know, the love bug starts to melt away, and this is where the mask comes off. You get comfortable with each other, and this is where you may no longer tolerate their shit. Like, in the honeymoon stage, you kind of forgive them. You're like, eh, they've done this, but whatever. Like, I don't really care. But then it's like they keep doing it. They keep on doing it. And because you're so comfortable, you feel confident and comfortable enough to speak up about it and go, well, I actually don't like this. Now, like I said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with this. This is the process you're getting to learn about each other. And in this stage, it's really, actually really important to lay the foundations down, like, and say it early. When you have an issue with them, when you express how you feel and you do it at this stage, it's giving them an opportunity. It's giving both of you an opportunity to work as a couple together to see how you go, because relationships is, it's two-way street. Both of you have to actively be working together to work on this relationship. It cannot be a one-way street. So if you are open, and obviously you get to the stage where you realize that they do certain things that you don't like. So it's all about being able to communicate and work through the things that maybe you guys don't like with each other, and doing it in such a supportive way. So this is so that you guys can grow. And because don't forget, you take on each other's trauma and each other's wounds. So, you know, like, you have issues from your past relationship, which obviously are going to be, they're going to come up in new relationships. Like, you're going to feel triggered. You're going to want to go back to old habits, maybe, that you know, did in your past relationship. And when you can recognize this behavior, and when you can actively communicate with your partner about it and they support you, honestly, there is absolutely no way that relationship can fail. But you have to be open and aware and present and speak up about it, and the other person has to be willing, open, you know, open enough and willing to be able to accept it. So yeah, this is when you get comfortable, you may no longer take their shit, and you find out who they truly are. This is why when you're in the honeymoon stage, it's really important to show who you are. I know it's so scary to be vulnerable and just to like be as comfortable as you can being yourself, but like, unfortunately, it's so sad because when you're just like, when you have this mask on and like you're not actually showing up who you are, and you're just kind of filtering and you're holding back, then they're gonna kind of fall in love with the version of you that they think is you, but it's not really you. And then, you know what, 5-6 months down the track, they're gonna realize that and they're gonna be like, oh. And I feel like this happens a lot, but we don't admit it, right? So it's only fair that you show up as yourself from the beginning. I know it's scary, and like for most people, I think they're so scared at feeling like, you know, they're going to be judged or rejected for being themselves. But if that's the case, then obviously the relationship, that person is not the right fit for you. So, and then I've got, and or you start to notice some indifferences, which is always going to happen. The relationship could get really comfortable, and then this is when lack of effort can be put in. When you get comfortable, you kind of slack off. And this is where a lot of relationships take a turn, because when you get so comfortable, you start to do the same shit every single day. You're not challenging each other. You're not actually connecting with each other. You no longer connect with each other, and you're no longer present. You end up just doing things like whoever has ever experienced in a relationship where you get home from work and you're so tired, you just sit and watch Netflix all night. You're not actually together. Yeah, you're together. You're sitting next to each other, but you're not present with each other. And there's no growth. Like, you can't grow as a couple. Okay, so the third stage is conflict. So conflict is maybe you have down days, disagreements, differences, flaws, or you may even drift apart. So either way, you work on the flaws. I'm going to say actually what I think most people do. This turns into arguments, being bitter, resentful, you distance yourself from each other, you don't actually work through anything. You guys, maybe the issues actually get ignored or put to the side. And this is when you start to repeat negative patterns. For example, fighting, abuse, being distant. And this is the part where conflicts arises, challenges that you face, which again, you will always face challenges. That is the part of the relationship cycle. But it's, you either do what I just said, be bitter, resentful, you distance yourself, you argue a lot, there's fighting, abuse, all that stuff. Or you work through the flaws, you work through the disagreements, you work on your communication, or you communicate, and you evaluate whether you both can work through the situation or whatever's going through, you're going through, and learn and grow, or whether the relationship has to come to an end. And this is really, like, I want you to understand that when relationships come to an end, it is not a bad thing. When you get to this stage in a relationship and you sit down and you think, holy shit, this relationship is not for me, then that is completely fine. Most of us don't want to admit that because, one, we feel like we've wasted 6 months of our life, 3 to 6 months of our life. Two, we feel guilty and we don't want to hurt the other person, or it's just easier. It's just comfortable. Just, you know, putting up with the shit, whatever. I'll deal with it. It's fine. It's just easier, you know. We've been here before. I've been with this person for however many months now. It's just easier to ignore it, move on, argue, whatever. So the fourth stage is the detachment, deep attachment. So you've gotten to know each other deeply and you've become attached to them, either in a good way or a bad way. Like I said, you become comfortable, you end up becoming attached. This is where you repeat habits and cycles, either good or bad, most of the time it's bad. And usually by this stage, you know deep down the relationship is right or wrong, but you stay anyway because it's easier. Which is what I was saying. So it's either this is the stage where I feel like most people are like, it's either going to work or it's not going to work. You kind of know because you know by now that this person has, you know, you've been with them long enough to know what they're, who they are, what they're like, and what their goals are. You know, whether you're on the same page or whether you can work through things. Most of the time, relationships don't actually work through the stuff. They argue, they talk about it, but they don't necessarily resolve it. And resolving it is like actually doing the deep inner healing work. Because like I said, the wounds are going to come up. You're going to feel triggered. Things are going to come up throughout the relationship where you have the opportunity to heal. But if you're not consciously aware of that, then most of the time you suppress it, you neglect it, you fight, you argue, and it doesn't get anywhere. It doesn't get resolved. I've got a really bad reflux. Okay, and the last one's commitment. So this is the stage, which is usually like by the 1 year mark, I think, is when you are committed for the long haul, whether it's healthy or not. You're just freaking committed. And this is like, obviously family and friends are involved at this point and you're just like, ah, fuck it. It's just easier to be together. Why would we leave? It's so much easier. There's too much involved. It's too hard. Maybe even kids get involved. Who knows? Like, people get knocked up real early these days. It's too hard. It's way too hard. I'm not going to do this. Maybe we're thinking about buying a house. You know, expectations are placed on us by our friends, family, whatever. Can't be bothered dealing with the shit. So I'm committed. That is like my interpretation of the five stages. Like I said, whatever resonates, whatever doesn't, then leave it. If you have anything to add to it or you have any questions or anything, let me know. So the next part is how to work on your relationship. So let's say you're in a relationship, and then I'm going to go into the people that are not in the relationship next. So if you're not in a relationship, bear with me. I will get to it very, very soon. So how to work on your relationship. A very important question to ask, and I actually got this off a guy off TikTok that talks about relationships, or I think he specializes in it. I don't know. So I can't take credit for it, but I thought this was really powerful and beautiful, and I think it's really important that we implement this in our relationship. I definitely will in mine. But it is to ask them, do they want to be hugged, held, or heard? So in a situation where it's like there's something going on with them, rather than just assuming, rather than just like trying to fix their issues, which most of us try to do that in a masculine way. Like, let's just say like someone like loses their keys, and like your partner loses their keys, and they're like, fuck, I lost the keys, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, babe, have you looked everywhere for them? Of course he would have, right? So rather than being that, you can approach it in a more feminine way. You got this, babe. I know you do. You'll find them. It's all okay. Or it's like, you know, if you don't know what to do, you don't know what they need, ask them, do they want to be hugged, held, or heard? The next one is being present and always check in with each other. Being present is incredibly, incredibly effective in a relationship when you can be present. Let's just say you're like meeting up with, you know, you're in your relationship, not being on Netflix, so maybe you have a date night and you're just really present and you check in with your partner and you're like, how are you doing? How are you going? So that's one question to ask. And then the second one's like, how are you feeling in this relationship? They are so important questions that I think are going to help create like a stronger foundation and a stronger connection with you and your partner just by asking those questions. Okay, and the next one's make them feel seen, heard, and valued. So whenever that they're going through things, just in general, always make sure that you're making them feel seen, heard, and valued. There's nothing more important than feeling the support from your loved one, because essentially, obviously, like what happens is they always go to you for stuff, right? So you want to make sure that they're there for you every single motherfucking of the way. If you're just arguing with them, you're putting them down, then that is a toxic motherfucking trait. And the next thing is to have your individual time. Individual time is so important. Do your own thing. And this should happen once, at least I would say twice. Like, this is just my opinion. I would have that, have your own time twice. Like, let's say you work during the day, you come home 2 days in that week. Have your own time to do whatever it is that you want to do, but for yourself, by yourself. Very effective. Very effective, very important. This is from Jay Shetty too. He said, like, spend one day with your friends too, like your own personal friends, and then spend another day with, like, your partner's friends as well. Like, whatever it works best for you. So I would say 2 days by yourself and one day with your friends, like without your partner. The next one is do new and exciting things. Always do different things in the relationship, because if you're not doing anything new, you're not stimulating anything in the relationship. Do new and exciting things that can obviously, like, bring you guys closer together, even in the bedroom. I highly advise that. Challenge yourself and the relationship. Challenge yourself. Ask those difficult questions. Sit down and have a deep conversation. Challenge yourself by maybe going away for a week without them. I don't know. Whatever it looks like for you that will challenge the relationship, do it. Open up even more. Vulnerability. Be even more vulnerable. Vulnerability, like I said, is a fucking superpower. It is so good. It is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. So for the men that are listening that are like, ew, females do not like men being vulnerable, that's a fucking lie. And if that has been your experience, then you're obviously surrounding yourself with the wrong women. You're attracting the wrong women in your life. I absolutely love vulnerability. I think it is so important for me in my relationship. Vulnerability is a must. If you can't feel safe, and this is the thing, I know I can say confidently, not being cocky, but confidently, that I can create a safe space for my partner to be able to be vulnerable. And I think that's so important. But it's up to them to do it, you know? So open up even more, and that's going to bring you guys closer. And then the last one is being okay if the relationship ends. Again, there's nothing wrong with if the relationship ends, you go your separate ways, you're on different pages. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. Now, for the people that have waited so freaking patiently, that are single, that are wanting to explore a new relationship, I'm going to give you some tips on doing that. So, probably nothing new here, you know what I'm going to say, but the first one is, am I being vulnerable from the start? I cannot tell you how many fucking women or males that you're going to filter out if you're vulnerable from the start. And it's not a bad thing. I know for you to open up your heart, which is something so beautiful, by the way. Opening up your heart for a male or a female is such a beautiful thing, and it's the thing that we all love to do, that we all want to. But it's so scary because we're so scared we're going to get shut down. We're so scared we're going to get neglected, or we're going to be judged, because what a prime time to be vulnerable, to judge us. But I just want you to know that it's completely, when you can trust yourself in being vulnerable and the wrong person is judging you, put you down, or isn't there for you, then they're just not the right person for you. It's their shit. They're unhappy with themselves. They've got their own shit. Whatever is going on with them is to do with them. There's nothing wrong with you. And it doesn't mean that you should close yourself up and not be vulnerable to anyone again. That's something I want you to practice. I want you to really practice becoming vulnerable. And every time, like, if you do get neglected or you do get shut down and it works against you, that's got nothing to do with you. It doesn't mean that you should close up. It means that you should open up your heart even more. People are going through shit. People don't know how to deal with their shit. You want to be with someone who is stable, who is emotionally available, who has done the work, who is ready to commit and do further work with you and to support and grow with you. So when you're vulnerable, you will know very quickly whether this person is right for you or not, because the right person will create a safe space. They will be there for you, and you, 6 months or a year down the track, whatever, when you can be vulnerable and open your heart up, even throughout the whole relationship, you just know that they're going to be there to support you. You're not going to look down the tracks. You're not going to look 6 months down the track and go, fuck, I wish I was vulnerable from the start, because I realize he doesn't give a shit about me. He's got his own things going on. Okay? So be vulnerable. Then the next thing I want you to ask yourself is, am I being myself? It is so important to be yourself. Be yourself. Why would you be someone else? Why would you make them fall in love with a version of you that's not even you? Just because you're scared that they're not going to like you. Again, you're filtering out the fuckheads, right? You're filtering out the red flags, if that's the case. If they don't like who you are, you being you, then they're not the one for you. And again, you just think, you don't want to waste your time with someone. You don't want to look down 6 months down the road and go, fuck, I wish I just did all of these things because I've wasted 6 months of my life. You're going to have to do it someday, one or sooner rather than later. The next thing is ask the right questions. See if your values align. What are your values? Do you want kids? Do you see yourself being in a long-term relationship? Do you see yourself opening up? Blah, blah, blah. Whatever the questions are. Ask those questions and ask them early on. I was scratching my head thinking, how early is too early? It's never too early. If they think, oh, that's a bit early, why would you ask that? Or if they get that kind of turns them off, then they're not the right person for you, because they don't see that why it's a thing, why it's a good thing to ask. They don't see that. So get rid of them. Oh, what's the next one? This is such a heavy topic. It's like me being in full force mode. But I say all of this with love, I promise you. The next one is take it slow and be present. There's nothing worse than rushing it. I've rushed both. I've only been in two relationships and I've rushed them both. We moved real quick. And it's just so easy. Because the honeymoon stage, you get caught up. And then you just neglect. That's the thing. In my past relationship, and this was totally my fault, but because I was in the honeymoon stage and I was all in love, I kind of gave up my identity. I gave up everything, my wants and my needs, to make this relationship work. And I didn't really realize that at the time until I got out of the relationship and I was like, shit, I actually sacrificed a lot because I really wanted this relationship to work. But, earlier on in the relationship, I literally gave my all to this person. And that meant that I lost myself and I became codependent very quickly. So take it slow and be present. The next one's don't sleep with them straight away. Don't sleep with them. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because if they want to sleep with you on the first time, first night, then they just want to get in your pants. They want to get in your pants. And if they try and you say no and they're like, ugh. Or they're they make a fuss. Again, they don't care. They're not, it's a sexual thing that goes back to the trauma bond where I said it's just the physical. It's the physical and sexual chemistry. If it's more than that, then they will wait and they will be happy to wait. And that's a very good indication to know whether that's a trauma bond or not. The next one's look out for the red flags and listen to your intuition. We have such a strong intuition. You have a gut feeling. Listen to it. Honestly, listen to it. Every single person on this planet has an intuition. And it's usually in their gut. It feels icky. It's like a nudge. It just feels gross. Listen to it. Listen to it. And pay attention to the red flags. They are very visible at the start. We just avoid them because we're so itty giddy in our head and we want to think the whole relationship's perfect. So it's very important to be aware of the red flags, and you will know. And if they're really bad red flags, they're very obvious. And don't ignore it. And when you do see a red flag, run for the hills. No, seriously, run for the hills. Like, it's, we often, like, this is what happens, right? We explore new relationships, we get to dating and stuff. And what happens is, like, we notice a red flag. We notice a red flag and then we're like, oh, but, you know, this. And we try to rationalize it. Don't do that. Pay attention to when you do that. Because that is an indication that your ego or that your trauma, there's trauma and that the wounds need to be healed. There is trauma behind that. And it's just your ego telling you that shit. There's a reason why I'm ignoring the red flag. So let's just say that I've experienced this once. Ooh, okay. So I had this guy, like, I was kind of dating this guy, it was kind of, like, very early. And then he would say, like, things that he would say, he was like an investor and he would be like, this tenant didn't pay me rent. And so he was dead to me. He was like, that's it. When they don't pay rent, they're dead to me. And I was like, it caught me back. It's like, and he was very serious and he was very aggressive towards that. He's like, yeah, I'll be nice, but like, if you screw me over, that's it. That was a huge red flag for me. And I completely ignored that. And then what happened was when I tried to express how I felt, he yelled at me, which is, of course, a dead giveaway. How am I shocked to receive that when his aggression came out very obviously? But I ignored it. So don't ignore the red flags. They're right there in front of you. And ask yourself if I'm ignoring a red flag or if I'm like, what? Why? Why am I trying to ignore this? For me, it was because I loved the attention and I loved how he would call me all the time. I felt important. I felt wanted. I felt needed. I felt loved. And so it was just a wake-up call to be like, shit, I need to give myself more of that. Because no man should make a female cry, nor should a female make a man cry. Or, you know, like, no one should make someone feel that way, period. And the last one that I've got is be aware if it's a trauma bond or if it's a healthy relationship, which is what everything that I just said from the start. So there's a lot here to think about. There's honestly a lot. And when you're exploring new things, it's, this is what I'm going to get into. It's about calling in the partner you want. Now, we manifest. Whether you're into manifestation or not, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Because we do. We attract the people in our lives based on our beliefs and what we feel worthy of. We attract from who we are, not what we want. You say you want a loving person, but your being says otherwise. Often when we try to go on date, we try to date, what happens is we get triggered by our past. We get triggered by our past relationships that scare us off, that makes us feel unloved, whatever. It's going to happen regardless. It happens. You will feel triggered because you can't do any of the work unless you actually experience dating or put yourself into the situation of exploring a relationship. So it's bound to happen. So I want to ask you to be very aware. Now, I've got a 5-day workshop, right? It's a 5-day live workshop. I'm going to talk about dating on day 5. It's all about the dating tips and advice that I wish people talk about more because I've been dating in the last like 3 years. There is so much that I wish I learned and I wish I knew, but I'm going to talk about that in day five. So I highly recommend that you get on board with this. It's literally only $77 for 5 days. I go live for 5 days and it's going to be between an hour and 90 minutes, depending on how much content I have. So 5 days worth of me going live. Like, I'm going to increase the price to $444 and it's going to be turned into like a course or a workshop. So I just would honestly recommend that you get on board with this, because I'm going to be talking about health, like pretty much going deeper into what I've been talking about, but I'm also going to be talking about like actually clearing the inner work and getting rid of the beliefs and doing the mindset work so that you can call in the relationship that you want, so that you can feel worthy and deserving enough. When the love that comes into your life, you feel confident enough that you deserve that. Because when we want something in our life, if we don't feel confident enough, if we don't feel worthy enough, we often repel it, or we self-sabotage. And I've done this all too many times. So this workshop is going to be more about going deeper into doing the work and then actually calling in the partner that you want. So the last part I'm going to talk about now is just like manifesting your partner. So we all want love. We all want it. The first thing I'm going to say is wanting is different than needing. If you feel like you need this relationship, if it's a needy type of energy, then it's the wrong energy. It's the wrong energy. You're not going to attract someone based off that energy, or you are, but it will be the wrong person. So the first thing you need to do is you need to clear out the shit that you're thinking that this relationship is going to give you, and you need to give it to yourself. Whether it's feeling validated, feeling loved, feeling appreciated, feeling enough, you have to give it to yourself first. You can find the perfect fucking relationship, right? She could be, or he could be, the absolute one for you, but you will self-sabotage it because you haven't done the inner work. But what I can tell you from experience and from facts is that you will attract what you feel inside. So if you don't feel loved and appreciated, you're going to attract someone that's going to give you exactly that. No love, no appreciation, all of that. Because that is what, if you're lacking that, how can you love, right? I always say this, how can you love someone if you can't love yourself? If you can't love yourself, no amount of love that they're going to give you is going to be enough. Period. So make sure you do the work. Like, give yourself what you need to give to yourself. Change the needy energy to a want. I don't need to be in a relationship. I'm very whole, happy, and complete by myself. And if you're not at that point, then you need to work towards that point. And then you can get to a place where you're like, I want a relationship, but I don't need it. Which means that you can call in that type of relationship. The very beautiful, amazing partner that you want that does exist. And you can finally call in and claim that person. So manifesting is getting specific on the type of person you want. Now, I have actually said get very specific, but I actually won't recommend it. The only thing I would say get specific is the energy. So how this person makes you feel. How would you feel being this person? Would you feel loved, appreciated? Would you feel whole? Would you feel enough? Would you feel complete? Would you feel like you were the only person on the planet that exists for them? And tap into that emotion, tap into that energy, and call that in right now and become that type of energy. Become that energy. Because when you can become that energy and practice feeling whole and complete and like this relationship's already yours, whether you want to actually picture this person, whether you just want to, like what I do is I visualize being hugged by this person. I don't know what he looks like, but I picture just being hugged by this person and I can feel his energy, and it's like two energies connecting and it feels warm and it feels complete and it feels beautiful, and I practice rehearsing that. And it's like, I am safe, I am loved, I am enough, you know? And I practice feeling into that energy, and what I do is I become that energy. And when I become that energy, what I'm doing is I'm allowing that person to come into my life because you match. You manifest based on energy. When you're vibrating, when you're calling in that energy, then that person, then it's going to manifest in physical reality by that person showing up. And I've actually experienced this. So I'm telling you, practice feeling in the energy of what it would be like being in this relationship and what you want out of this relationship. And it's about how you feel. It's not about how they feel or how they make you feel. It's about how you feel to the core. And that is how you're going to be able to manifest the partner. You can go specific as like to what their values, what their morals are, what they like doing and all that stuff. Like, yeah, that's fine. If you want to get into physical appearance, I guess you can. I mean, I've actually nailed mine to a T, like freaky T to the T. And I will eventually talk about my experience. But for the sake of this, I would just focus on the energy, because the energy is the most important part, because we attract based on who we are, not what we want. So it's great that you want that, but you have to become it. So I hope this episode has really helped you. I would love to hear your feedback on relationships. Don't forget the five-day live workshop is happening on the 29th of the 5th, so Monday the 29th, which is just over a week away. I want you to be there. I would love to see you there. It's only $77, so it's like a free, it's not a free, it's like a live coaching session with me. But for 5 days, how fucking sick is that? You'll get access to the replays as well. And then after that, the price is going up to $444, because I know how really, like how powerful it's going to be. And this is the mostly requested thing that people have asked me. So that's why I decided to do it. But I'm only doing it this once, and then it's turning into a course and that's it. So be sure to join the 29th of the 5th, which is a Monday, 5 days. And then on the 6th day, there's going to be a Q&A. So if you have any questions you want me to answer, I will be available to answer. Thank you so much for being here and listening to the end. If you stayed here to the end, I love you guys, and I will see you next time. Bye.